Church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running again here on the Refresh radio program, WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. Catch it at 8:30. Say, man, that was so good. I think I'll listen to it over on WWBC 1510 again at 10:30 a.m. After that, you can say, wow, that was so good. I think I can go back and listen to it again at 5 o'clock on WMIE 91.5 FM. And after that, you could say, wow, that was so good. I think I'll go to WMIEFM.com and listen to it all over again. Or maybe just one of those times will do it for you. However it is, there's a lot of different options to catch the program. And we pray that you would be blessed by this program and be blessed to such an extent you'd invite others to listen and see if they could grow in their faith as well. Our theme verse is, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And, you know, some translations put it, if you give one person a water or a cup of water, I'm going to make sure that you get the water that you need as well. We exist to be a blessing as a church. So we're, you know, past our 70th anniversary now and moving forward to what God has for us, and that is to continue to be a blessing in Brevard County. And this coming Sunday is going to be Father's Day. We're going to be sharing the Word of God and believing God to do great and mighty things. So if you do not have a church, maybe, you know, I talked about healing a lot yesterday. And, you know, my attitude towards praying for people to be healed is I believe Jesus is our healer. And so I want to do my part. I want to pray effectual, fervent prayers that avail much. But the results are up to God. And I will tell you this, nothing's too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. My pastor that I grew up under was healed of late stage terminal cancer. He would have been in his 40s. Yeah, late 30s, early 40s when God supernaturally touched him, and he went from hopeless and helpless to healed, and he finally died in his early to mid 90s, and it wasn't cancer that killed him. And so I've never had a problem believing for healing. If you are facing some physical issues, you can either email us your prayer request, or, you know, if you want to come, We pray every Sunday morning. There's part of our service that is specifically set aside for praying for people to be healed in Jesus' name. And so that's what we do. And if that would benefit you, come and see us this Sunday morning, 165 North Grove Street. We will pray in faith and stand in faith with you. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 22 right now. Yesterday we were talking about Jesus' broken body being for us and for our healing. Verse number 20 says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. So today we're going to be talking about the cup. And remember, Jesus had a fervent desire to celebrate this Passover with them. He was taking it up a notch. It wasn't just celebrating what God had done in the past. This is actually a celebration of what Jesus was already committed to do, but he was getting ready to physically fulfill in the days to come. So Isaiah says, by his stripes you are healed, because he's looking forward to the work of Christ and realizes that it has past benefit. Peter looks at it from the rearview mirror, and he says, by his stripes you were healed. And so he looks back and he says, the work that was made available for our healing, it's already taken care of. The treatment has already been done. Recently, we had a person, they were going in for a procedure, and they got all the way in there, and they came and said, okay, you're good to go. And he said, but you haven't done anything yet. And they said, well, you don't need us to do anything. The problem that you had, you don't have anymore. He's had this procedure a number of times, but this is the first time that they were going to do the procedure. And they said, the problem is gone. And so we are very thankful for that. We're celebrating that. So here now he's talking about the cup. You know, there are a lot of different mindsets on how to communicate. Sometimes you communicate with, you know, linear things like what comes first and then what comes second. Some people start with the most important thing and then work backwards. Some start with the least important and work forward. So there's a lot of different things. I want you to know that Jesus shed blood was absolutely essential. The blood of lambs and bulls and goats wasn't doing it. Turtle doves weren't cutting it. There was a sacrifice that required the Messiah to be the suffering servant that would give his life so that we could be saved from our sins and our sins would be completely wiped out. And the reason that I say that is vitally important is because if you never experience sickness or disease a single day in your life, but you never deal with the sin problem in your life, then you are going to be healthy up until the day that you die, and then you're going to be miserable for all of eternity. Jesus takes care of our here and now, but he is most concerned about our future, and that is he wanted this communion celebration to be a down payment, if you will, a deposit of the fellowship that they were going to have together for all of eternity. And again, you've got to understand, the disciples weren't going to understand all of this at that point in time. They needed the Holy Spirit to come and enlighten them and remind them of the things that Jesus said. And Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. There was a person that was preaching. Another individual was in the pew, and they came up to the pastor after the service and said, Pastor, that word was amazing. I sure wish Joe had been here because he would have got a lot out of that message. And that happened every week. You know, only every week it might be a different person. But the one thing that was never said is, Pastor, I want to thank you for that message. That was just the word that I needed. A lot of times when we think about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, we will fail to see that it was our sin that took him to the cross. And we will think that it was other people's sin that were worse than us. That's why he went to the cross. But we're a good person. Well, Jesus said there's none good but God. He wasn't saying that Jesus wasn't good. He was just looking for that person that called him good master, good teacher. He was wanting him to see that the goodness was because of the God that was on display in his life. And it just kind of went over his head. I want to tell you that apart from Jesus, I am a professionally world-ranked sinner. Inside of you and inside of me, apart from Jesus and the forgiveness of his shed blood, that there is the potential of doing horrifically offensive, hurtful, damaging things. I'm saying that to you so you know that we don't just need Jesus to be saved. We need Jesus to live the life that he wants us to live. We need him every single day. So he says, this is for you. This remembrance, this celebration, this new covenant, it is for you. Now, verse number 21 says, but behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. I don't know about you, but this is kind of hard to grasp. He's giving thanks. He's ministering to his disciples, and he knows that one of them, he's washed their feet. He's told them about the great covenant he's establishing on their behalf. And he knows that Judas is sitting at the table. His heart is filled with greed. He was a thief. He was stealing money out of the treasury. And he was filled with bitterness, jealousy. And Jesus knows what's going on in Judas's heart. And he knows that Judas is sitting there at the table, and he's giving thanks knowing betrayal is at hand. You know, most of the time you want to circumvent, you know, an unfaithful person. You want to short circuit that before their plan comes to pass. But I want you to know that that wasn't the plan of God. Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. So in verse number 22, it says, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. Okay? I don't know if you've ever been betrayed. I have been on multiple occasions. There was one business that I was in. A person said, hey, this is what your job is going to be. And about 4 or 5 days before the transfer was getting ready to take place, they said, just kidding. Just kidding. We're not doing that. And it was like, well, that's a surprise. That's a shock. And, you know, I was completely, unlike Jesus, I didn't know that was coming. I returned back to my department, and people who were working for me looked at me and said, what in the world just happened? Because I'd just been basically smacked upside the head with a 2x4 and just completely blindsided and didn't see that coming. There had been a time before that where we were looking at taking a job, and just so happened that that job, before we moved to where that job was going to be, we found out that we were expecting our first child. So we notified the people who had offered us the job, and they said, you're fired. Said, what? Said, yeah, we were hiring a young couple. We weren't hiring a young family. Well, here's the thing, folks. Most of the time, young couples become young families. It's just the way things go. And so That was pretty interesting. Didn't see that one coming. And then there were other situations where people that we were protective of, and we were trying to help them as much as possible. And then all of a sudden, we found out that they were basically attacking us at every turn, taking our blessings and turning them into horrible things being said about us. And boy, when it came out, they were so apologetic, so repentant, but not really repentant, because just the same way that we found out about the first betrayal, we found out about the second. Other people said, well, this is what they said. I'm here to tell you, betrayal should not be an excuse to keep you from giving thanks, enjoying the fellowship of those who are beside you, who are for you, who are with you. Don't allow a Judas to deprive you of the Peters and the Johns and the James and the Andrews and the Matthews. Don't let Judas' betrayal deter you from celebrating all of the spiritual victories. Don't let one failure define you. I'm going to say that again. Don't let one failure, one person's failure, define you. I've had people listen. If you're going to be ministering to people, you're going to find that it is not a painless activity. And so there have been plenty of people who shared their personal, and I'm going to put up some parenthetical quotation marks here, constructive criticism with me, except for it was criticism, it wasn't constructive. And you know what I did? I took it and I prayed over it and I said, God, is there any truth in this? If there's any truth in it, show me this and I will deal with the area of my life that you point out. But God, if this isn't true, then I'm going to throw it in the garbage. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. And so I wish that I could tell you that there was betrayal that never came. Jesus invited Judas to celebrate Passover with him, knowing he was an unfaithful traitor. I shared this at a women's event years ago, and that was that Queen Esther invited her husband, the king, to a banquet, who was the love of her life, but she also invited Haman, the Agagite, who was the enemy of her people, who were seeking to destroy her and all of her people. He invited her to the banquet, or invited him to the banquet, not just once, but twice. And it was because he was there during that time of celebration that there was a sudden turnaround of events. Don't let your problems, don't let people problems or health problems, don't let spiritual problems deprive you of coming and celebrating the goodness of God. It may be in that very moment that God is going to bring you the victory. That's a good word. That's a good word. Now, I want to tell you that in 2022, there is a lot of talk about communion, not just in church, but there's a lot of talk about communion that is in the news. There are a lot of people who think that you can celebrate communion and live and believe and practice whatever it is you want. That's not what the New Covenant was about. The New Covenant was about celebrating the deliverance from sin and Jesus overpowering the destroyer and our lives being enhanced and bettered by it. It was not so that we could be empowered or licensed to continue ungodly, sinful, and destructive policies and lifestyles that should have been repented for. So there are politicians that say, you better not deny me communion. You will have a fight on your hands. I'm a godly person. If you don't believe me, just ask me, I'll tell you. Well, you know what? I'm not godly because I say so. I'm only godly if God says so. If my lifestyle and my declaration of faith don't line up, there's a problem. There's a problem. And my philosophical positions don't trump my lifestyle. My lifestyle is the greater picture of reality. Okay? Your lifestyle is the real you. There's the you that you want to be. There's the you that you want everybody else to see, and there's the you that God wants you to be. But somewhere in there, there's the real you. And you know, communion says, look, apart from Jesus, I'm a miserable wreck. But because of Jesus, I get to celebrate. And betrayal doesn't even get to triumph over me because of the work of Jesus in my life. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that there were people who were partaking of communion in an unworthy manner. They did not recognize the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, there were some that were sick and some that had even died because they had celebrated covenant, but they weren't living covenant. It would be like a person coming and saying, honey, I am so glad that we get to celebrate our anniversary, our wedding anniversary. And right after you celebrate the anniversary, you go back to committing adultery and coming back and saying, oh, honey, I'm just so glad we get to celebrate our anniversary, and then going right back again and repeating the cycle and thinking there's nothing wrong. Okay? Here's what Jesus said. Truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. Jesus said, I'm going to fulfill my word. I'm going to fulfill my mission. Here's spiritual truth. Peter can't stop me. Judas can't stop me. None of you abandoning me is going to stop me. Herod's not going to stop me. Pilate's not going to stop me. The high priest is going to fail at stopping me. The hordes of hell are not going to prevail. My plan is going to come to pass. I'm going to do exactly what God has called me to do. God's plans will not be thwarted, and it didn't stop with Jesus. I want to encourage you to allow the boldness of God to arise up inside of you, to take on the assignments and the tasks that God has laid at your feet and say, God, by your Spirit, we are going to accomplish these things to the glory of God, not to the glory of Bob. Okay? Jesus said, I'm going to fulfill my purpose. Judas' betrayal's not going to stop it, but it says this, woe to that person, to that man by whom he is betrayed. Woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. There are a lot of woes in the scripture. Woe is me. Woe is me. You might want to look at those from time to time and make sure that we aren't doing the things that bring us woe instead of rejoicing. There are some who still try to argue to this day, I believe very misguidedly, that Judas thought he was doing a good thing and he was actually doing a bad thing. Listen, here's what the scripture said. Satan had filled Judas's heart already. Satan's never going to fill your heart to do something good. He's going to fill your heart to do something evil. That's what he does. Okay? Jesus said, You know, woe to that person who betrays me. And I pray that you never experience the pain and the hurt. Judas suddenly found himself, he realized as he watched everything that Jesus was going through that he was wrong. He returned the money, but he said, I can't live with what I've done. And he went out and he ceased living that day. I don't want that. I'm so thankful Jesus came so that our lives could be more than they ever were. Cowardly disciples became bold as lions and turned the world right side up in a very short period of time. Here's the last point for today. We've only got about a couple of minutes left here. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. They had no idea. Jesus had the idea. John leans over and says, Jesus, who's doing this? And Jesus said, it's the person who's dipping the bread in the juice with me. And it just so happened that it was Judas at that particular point in time. But when he got up and Jesus said, what you must do, go and do quickly, the people thought that Jesus was sending him on an assignment. They didn't really understand what was going on. And I tell you what, I pray you never experience betrayal. I pray that you never experience rejection. But Jesus experienced both, and he's living proof today that there is life beyond rejection, there is life beyond betrayal, and it's because God's will come to pass, not only in his life, it's going to come to pass in my life, it's going to come to pass in your life, and I pray that you experience all the blessings and the benefits that Jesus' broken body and his shed blood mean for you. So that's where we are today. We'll pick up on this again tomorrow because we're still not done in Luke chapter 22. Well, if you've been a person that betrayed Jesus, I want you not to run from him. I want you to run to him, ask him to forgive you and be the Lord of your life. And he'll set you up to succeed just like he did Peter. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Will bow to the name.